So, we're coming towards the end of the, I guess, the basketball season. We're starting up in baseball. In a few weeks, it's going to be, what, training camp for NFL?
Yeah.
And for colleges. And, you know, you really think of it. Why is there training camp at the start of every season? Why is there training camp and preseason at the start of every season?
Well, one reason is for the teams to get prepared, have a plan of action for the upcoming season, get ready.
Okay. What are some of the reasons?
I think that's a way of them really unifying, because practicing by between you is different when you practice, when you play against a different team. So them playing against a different opponent, it helps them to figure out themselves better.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, it's also a chance for the coach to get his ideas across.
Okay.
And make sure everyone's on the same page.
Good, good, good. I think all of those are true, and those happen. But one of the primary reasons why they have training camp and preseason is to get back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get back to blocking and tackle, you know, doing just layups, things, you know, just things that they take for granted over the season, but they get back to getting back to the fundamentals, you know. And And that's, you know, can you imagine if as disciples, we got back every year to just going over all the studies, you know, the start of the year, just going back over all the studies and just really thinking about them, thinking about where we were when we studied, where we are now, and just really let those resonate with us, how you think it would impact our year. Year after year, if we were to do that. You see, that's what teams do. They go back to basics. And tonight, that's what we're going to talk about, getting back to basics. And, you know, we're going to look at three basic things that as disciples we need in our lives in order to live the life that God has called us to live. And the three things that I'll be talking about are Bible study, prayer, and evangelism. Amen?
Amen.
So let's start with... Well, let's start with a prayer. Who wants to pray? Go ahead.
Father, we just want to thank you just for allowing us to get here safely. Mm-hmm. Just on our way here, we're just seeing just massive trees just falling. Just, you know, just pray that anyone who's hurt, that you just save them, protect them.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that, Father, you help our hearts right now to be open and receptive to your word. Help us to read and study your word with our hearts with the intent to change and grow,
mm-hmm.
to embrace that change and growth wholeheartedly, not to shun it or resist it or request it, but to embrace it wholeheartedly. And allow your words to be written on our heart and on our consciousness so we may use it to meditate on, but bring lasting change and transformation within ourselves, to help ourselves and help others.
Mm-hmm.
So help us to embrace your word and fall in love with your word and be consumed by being obedient to your word. Help our hearts to comprehend on a deeper spiritual level so we get what you try to show us through your word. And lastly, Father, help us to fall deeper and deeper in love with you through your word. Because
yes.
We need you. And we cannot get to this day of this life without you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your prayer. And what an introduction to, you know, looking at Bible study. Now turn with me to Psalm 19. And if someone could read verses 7 through 14.
All right, y'all there?
Uh-huh. Just
Psalm 19,
uh-huh.
7.
7 through 14.
The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen. So, you know, the first few verses, it had different synonyms of describing the word, the scriptures, you know, and just different things that emphasize different things, different aspects of the scriptures. It start with the law. Mm-hmm. A law is something you use to regulate your life. Mm-hmm. It said the law of God, it revives the soul. Mm-hmm. When you revive something, what you do? You bring life. Bring back life to it. It's either dying or it's dead. To revive it, you bring back life. The word is able to bring back spiritual life in us, right? It said the word is a trustworthy statute of God. A statute is a written law. You know, that when we read the Bible, it's able, it's trustworthy. It can be depended on. It can be believed. It can be followed. It's true. And it says, you know, we don't have to second guess whether or not what it says will happen. The result, good, bad, that result can be trusted. Mm-hmm. You know, it keeps us, because it's trustworthy, it keeps us from doing stupid stuff. Right. You know, if we, it allows us to make better choice because we are able to see things differently.
That's right.
It says, the precepts of the Lord are right. They give joy to the heart. You know, precept again is to regulate your behavior. So the word is able to regulate your behavior. It says when the word is able to direct and regulate your behavior, it gives joy to your heart. You know, can you imagine just always just feeling joyful? You know, or even if you're in a funk, where you can go to restore that joy, mm-hmm. to revive that joy. It's that the Word of God has that property to do that for us. Mm-hmm. The command of the law of God are radiant. Think of something as radiant; it's bright. It radiates. It goes beyond itself. Mm-hmm. You know, command is a directive from an authority. You know, that when we allow God's word to direct us, to order us, so to speak, that it's radiant. It allows us to radiate. It allows us to be bright, to not only provide light for ourselves, but when you radiate, you're not just looking, it's not just for you, but it impacts others. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the sun radiate light. You know, it just broadcasts light, and that's what the word is able to do with us. It says, the fear of the Lord, you know, fear, respect of the Lord, that's the word, you know, it promotes, it projects the fear of the Lord. It says, it's pure, it's enduring forever. It never changes. Something is pure. It doesn't get any better. Mm-hmm. It's enduring. So it's always that way. It's not just sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's always. So the ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. It's sure. It's not a hit or miss thing. It's righteous. It's not sometimes right or sometimes wrong. Mm-hmm. It's righteous. It's not an arbitrary thing. It's not an afterthought. But it's sure. It's from God. It's there. And those are the ways that the Word of God will impact our hearts. Mm-hmm. It will command us. It will direct us. It will guide our behavior, regulate our behavior. You know, it says it will the fear of the Lord, the respect of God's word. you know, give because it's the same. It endures forever. It never changes. You know. You know, the next verse says the wisdom, the insight, the knowledge we get from the Word of God, knowing what is true, and the righteousness makes the Word of God more precious than anything of the greatest value to us. You know, I said God's Word is more precious. In other words, it's of more value than anything that we could ever hope for. Mm-hmm. You know, you think of that one thing that if you could own it, if it could be yours, that would be special. That would make the difference of all other things in your life. The Word of God is beyond that. It says it's sweet, sweeter than honey. Think about something that's satisfying, something that brings contentment and peace to the heart. See, that's what the Word of God has in store for us. And you see, that's why Satan would prevent us from taking the time to read it. Mm-hmm. Because he knows the value. And he knows that if we are pulled into the Word and it gets into us, that he's going to lose us. Yeah. So he wants us to kind of, you know, like, just know enough to be miserable, but not fully embracing it, not fully, you know, getting ourselves into it and getting it into us. You know, in verse 12, it says, let me see if can you read verse 12 quickly there for me again?
But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults.
Yeah, you see, we can't really see ourselves objectively, can we?
Right.
You know, we sometimes see ourselves in a way that we kind of make it up, you know, that make us feel better, look better, or make us feel worse or look worse than we really are. You know, we can't discern our way objectively, but the scriptures can really be a mirror for us. You know, in James 1:22, it talks about a man who looks, who listens intently to the word. You know, and I believe James used the word listen because unlike we today, they didn't have the Bible in print where everybody had access to it. So they could only hear the word, and most people back then couldn't read. So they heard the word when a rabbi or someone who memorized it, recited to them, or they go to a synagogue or to a temple to hear the word read. That's how they heard the word. So when he says, listen intently to the word, it's just like us reading it. And so he said, it's like a man looking into a mirror. And so that's what the word is able to do. It's able to really define us in a real way, in a trustworthy way. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, you know, talk about the word is sharper than a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah.
It exposes us. It exposes us and allows us to see our true selves. So, you know, you really think about it. If we filter all our thought and attitude through the word, if we filter all of those through the word, what kind of action you think we'll have? How do you think we would be? How do you think we would behave if we allow all our thoughts and our attitude? Because in Hebrews says, you know, it discerns that thought and the attitude of the heart. So if we allow what we're thinking about, what our attitude is, to be filtered through what the word says, mm-hmm. how do you think we'd come out on the other side of the filter?
More righteous, more pure.
What's our decisions would be like on the other side?
Be centered around God. More God focus.
We'd have better judgment, wouldn't we? Yeah. We'd make better decisions. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes the way, I know for myself, sometimes the way I make decision, based on how I feel at the moment, yeah. you know, if I'm feeling good, or if I feel like I like you, or if I don't, or if I'm tired or not, there's so many things that can factor into how I feel and how my decisions are, if they're driven by that feeling. But if what my feeling is filtered through the Word of God, which never changes, you know, which is able to direct my behavior, mm-hmm. and which exposes my thought and the attitude of my heart to me, and act as a mirror so I can really see my true self, then I'm going to make a different decision. I'm going to make a better decision, mm-hmm. you know? And that's what the Word of God is able to do for us, for all of us. You know, in verse 13, if you could read verse 13. Let me quickly, verse 13.
Keep your servant also from willful sins.
Wow.
May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression.
The Word of God is able to keep us from willful sin. Mm-hmm. How so? How is it able to?
No, for me, I mean, if in the morning, it might not even seem like a, it might not even seem like a one-to-one correlation, although it is, and I say it is because over time you see that your days just go different, you know, your mind sort of gets moving, you have a quiet time in the morning is good because it kind of puts your mind in a better place to start with, in a better start position, but I noticed that during the course of the day, my thoughts are just different, you know, almost effortless. I'm gonna say totally effortlessly, but when I do start that, the mental train going in the Word as opposed to anywhere else, I'm just not as, I may have a sinful thought. It's more passing than it normally is. It's not as likely to sit and nestle itself mm-hmm. as opposed to days I've noticed where I haven't had a quiet time or I haven't really centered myself in the Word or prayed, you know. And so, and again, this is just something just noticed over time, but it's just true. You know, it's not magic, but, you know, mm-hmm. literally the Word does tend to stabilize you, mm-hmm. for a better term. Like, there's always a fight during the day, but it's just not as intense when I've started there.
Well, it goes back to the things that we just said too, you know, it's able to expose the thoughts and the attitude of our hearts, you know, so if we allow the Word to filter what we're thinking, you know, it will prevent us, like it says here, from willful sin, because it will define for us whether or not the thought or the attitude is a good one, is a righteous one, is a godly. You know, if we measure it against the Word of God, we can determine what kind of thought it is, what kind of mm-hmm. attitude it is. But also look at, can somebody read Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11? And if someone else could look at, pull up Job 31 and hold it. Yes, Psalm 119, 9 through 11.
How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your command. Mm-hmm. I have hidden your words in my heart that I may not sin against you.
Yeah. Memorizing scriptures. Mm-hmm. Getting the word inside of us. You know, if you take a bottle, an empty bottle, you put it there, is it empty or is it full? If a bottle empty, there's no fluid in it, is it empty or is it full?
It's full
bottle is always full. It depends on what you put in there. There's always something in our heart. But if it has something in there that we don't like, what do? You pour in it what you like, and it displaces what's in there. I've hidden your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Keep us from willful sin. Read Job 31:1.
Made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman.
Guys, summer's coming. Spring, summer. It's always there, but it's just more exposed now. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's not the time to go hang out at the pool on Saturday morning or Saturday, you know, when you know what's going on there. Mm-hmm. You know, Job said, I've made a covenant. You know, memorizing scripture, that's a good one, isn't it? I've made a covenant. The word of God is able to keep us from willful sinning. You know, in part B of verse 31, it says, we will be blameless and innocent of great transgression. That's what the word is able to do for us, keep us blameless and innocent from great transgression. Because you see, when we are in the word, it displaces the things that would lead us to unrighteous behavior, to prevent the wrong thoughts and attitude to linger. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't stop the bird from flying over, but we can prevent them from perching. Mm-hmm. Can prevent them from perching in our head. You know, there are different thoughts will come our ways. It's whether or not we're going to hold on to them. But if we have no reason to not hold on to them, they're just going to purge. Amen? Any comment?
Well, for me, I really like the illustration of the bottle. And I just find it very vivid, and it just really hits home. That there's always something in my heart. You know, it's like my heart isn't like even in a neutral state. You know, at best, it's really messed up. So it's up to me to deliberately, very deliberately and actively place, you know, good through God's word. You know, like the word you use, to displace. You know, because sure enough, if I do that, it will displace the evil that's in there. And
I appreciate the words.
Reality check that, you know, it's spring and it's summer, and mm-hmm. it's a reality to be ready for spiritually.
I appreciate the words you use, deliberately and actively. You know, it's intentional. It's not just something that happened because we wish it to happen, but it's something that we actively pursue and do, you know, take a hold of. That's what it takes. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, we're reading a lot of scriptures tonight, right? Because we're looking at the basic, one of the basic, the word, being in the word. Isaiah 66, verse 2b, the second part of Isaiah 66. The second part of the verse.
These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word.
Okay, see. And it's talking about, you know, God is saying who he looks on with favor. He said, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at his word. There's a respect, there's a fear you know, there's a deep reverence for the Word of God. And that comes by, from being in it, from really seeing how God has put together the plan of salvation to benefit me as an individual. It's for all mankind, but it's also very personal. It starts with me, that God did this for me, that if I was the only person in this world, that God would do the same thing for me. Because you see, he knows even the hair on my head. He knows how many. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have a lot to count for me right now, but you know, he knows how many hairs on our head. Mm-hmm. He's that intimate with us. And he says, God look with favor on those who have a deep respect for his word. And that comes with intentional, active, deliberate behavior. And so to get back, you know, to basics, we have to start with the Word. And we have to really get into the Word, and we have to let the Word get into us. You know, for me, I get up in the, my best time to read is in the morning. I get up 5:30 in the morning, I make my coffee, I get dressed and I sit down and I read. I'm the only one awake. You know, I get to read, I get to pray. If I'm running a little bit late, I pray in the car on the way to work. But that's the time that worked for me. You know, for different people, different time. Some people are not morning persons, so there's no point in sitting there or falling asleep. You know, it's not doing anybody any good. Maybe your time is in the evening. Maybe your time is lunchtime. You take some time away and go sit in the park or something, you know. But whatever time it is where you're alert and can really focus, you know, and I really encourage you to take the time to be in the Bible, to be in the Word, to let it get into you, you know, because that is what will keep you from being blameless and innocent of great transgression. Amen? So the first basic is the Word. The second basic is prayer. So let's look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. In verse 42, this is what it says. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that was why I came. But it says, at daybreak. You know, Jesus had a lot of demands on him. Mm-hmm. There were people looking for him for different reasons. Mm-hmm. But there was a big demand on him. So what he did, he got up at daybreak. He was the first one up. Because he knew that the rest of the day, people were just going to be everywhere. You know, we know the story when he got in the boat. They were on the other side waiting for him. You know? But he took time to pray. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, very early in the morning when it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. In Luke 5, verse 16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. See, Jesus knew that it was necessary for him to have alone time with God, where it was just him and the Father, where he could have, you know, uninterrupted communion, fellowship. So if the Son of God needed that, how much more do we? How much more do we? You know, and remember, what we're talking about here is basics. I don't know where you are in all this, but that's why we're a training camp. Right?
Right.
To get back to basics. Get back to the little things. Because you have to do the little things well before you can do the big things well, right? You know, the guy has to know how to set his feet up to make the proper tackle. And, you know, after being off for a while, it goes away. You know, so that's why we're going back to basics. You know, you might think, man, you know, I wish I could pray like that. I just don't know how to pray. I don't know how to spend time in prayer or what I pray about when I pray. Well, you know, prayers may not be as natural as we think. Mm-hmm. But let's look at something. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. See, being able to pray is not necessarily a natural thing. In Luke 11 verse 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. See, the disciples, they saw Jesus praying and they said, man, I want to learn. I want to learn how to pray. See, prayer may not be a natural thing, but it can be learned.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we all can learn to pray, mm-hmm. regardless of where you are. It's not a shame to not know how to pray. Right. It's not a shame to not learn how to pray. It would be a shame to stay there and be ignorant as far as how to pray, mm-hmm. because we can learn. Jesus' disciples, they needed to be taught, and they recognized their need. John's disciples, they needed to be taught. These are two of the most powerful preachers that walk the face of the earth, and the people that they were training need to be taught how to pray. And so do we, you know, we can learn how to pray. So there's no excuse for us to not pray, you know. And then Luke 11, it said, Jesus went on to teach them how to pray. And he gave them basically an outline. It says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So Jesus gave them basically an outline, mm-hmm. a template of how to pray. I know as a kid growing up, we would, before going to bed, you know, you'd say the Lord's Prayer and just dive onto the sheet. And unfortunately, a lot of people, even after they grow up, they're still saying that because they've never really been taught to understand that this is just an outline, mm-hmm. you know. And so then it goes back to, you know, just being taught, you know. And, you know, from verses 2 to 4, talk about acknowledging God, acknowledging who God is. That is our Father. You know, we're able to express our thought to Him after, you know, spending time in the Word and understanding who God is, understanding His character, understanding who He is to me. We're able to, in our prayer, express that back to Him. You know, a place that we can, a couple of psalms, you can write these down, that we can look at to really help us to just really see God, is Psalm 103 and Psalm 104. You know, there are many psalms that talk about God, who God is, God's nature. But there are two psalms that you can look at that, you know, will help you as you acknowledge God in your prayers. You know, it talks about, give us this day, you know. We can pray, we pray for our own needs. But you know, after our mind is set on who God is, who I'm going to my Father. I'm going to the creator of everything. I'm going to one who can provide me with all that I need. You know, now that I have that frame of mind, I'm asking for my needs. He can give me all that I need to help me through this day, regardless of what I'll come up against. I don't know the specifics of what I'm going to come up against, but I know that my Father will help me through it. Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know, acknowledge your Father. Pray for your need. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses. Because we do sin.
Yes.
Sometimes deliberately, sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes from being stupid, and sometimes by just, you know, not thinking. Mm-hmm. We all sin. We need that forgiveness, but we know we're going to our Father, right?
Right.
We acknowledge that up front. We're going to our Father. So it kind of takes a lot of the pressure off, and we can be sincere. Mm-hmm. It's like when little kids, you know, come up to us or those of us who are Father. All they know is that, that's my dad. I just ask him for anything. You know, they think we can give them anything, you know, whether or not you can. But they believe that. And we can go to our Father, our Abba, in the same way. He's our dad. Okay? So forgive us of our trespasses, but as we forgive, you know, we have to have that kind of heart that, you know, we realize that just as we sin against God and sin against each other, that other people will sin against me. And the way that I want God to respond to me when I seek forgiveness, I'm saying, God, forgive me, because that's the way I am going to, or I have responded to those who have sinned against me. You know, that I can have the same standard for others as I expect God to have for me. And that's what, you know, by praying that we're able to have a better perspective about that, to condition our hearts around that. You know, and one of the outline that some people use, and I use sometimes, is the ACTS, A-C-T-S, mm-hmm. for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Yes. You know, a time to really pray for others, you know, like the announcement that were made tonight, you know, for people who are struggling, people who we know personally, or people who we know from afar, but we know they're struggling. We may not know the details, but we know they're struggling. And we can pray for people. It says, pray for your leaders. It doesn't say whether they're Republican or Democrat. Mm-hmm. Pray for your leaders. You know, there's a lot of things to pray about, a lot of things to bring before God. But we know we're bringing it to a God, you know, who says, give to anyone who asks you. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Because that's what God does. Because when we were enemy, Christ died for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So God gives, and he expects us to give to those who are do good to us, or those who don't do good to us, mm-hmm. if there's a need. And it's through prayers that we can develop that kind of heart. Through the word and through prayers we can develop that kind of heart. You know, and I jot down some examples of prayers here that, you know, we can look at some men who prayed and see what they said in their prayers that we can also learn from as far as prayers. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 11. You could write that down. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. Second Chronicles 20, verse 5 through 24. And Ezra 9, verses 3 through 15. You know, those are some great prayers, you know. And if you read maybe before, even before the start of the prayer, you see what was going on. It gives you a context of what was going on and what they were responding to about their in their prayers. And I'd like to read the one in Ezra. You know, and you know, Ezra was there, and he heard that the leaders of Israel, the priests, were behaving in some ways that were ungodly, of course, unrighteous. You know, the people who they were getting married to, and the people who they were really whose lifestyle and character that they were taking on. And when he heard it, it really grieved his heart. And in verse 3 says, "When I heard this, I tore my tunic and cloak, pulled hair from my head and beard, and sat down appalled." You know, tearing your garments, pulling hair, is a sign of grief. Mm-hmm. You know, a sign of just the word I'm thinking of just appalled, being appalled. You know, and he said when he heard what was going on, he was appalled by it. And he said, "Where am I?" Okay, and it said, "I tore my tunic and cloak, pulled hair from my head and beard, and sat down appalled." It said, "Then everyone who trembled at the words of God of Israel gathered around me because of this unfaithfulness of the exiles. And I sat there appalled until the evening sacrifice. Then at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my self-abasement with my tunic and cloak torn, and fell on my knees with my hands spread out to the Lord my God and prayed." You know, when things hit us that's appalling, whether from our own behavior or the behavior of others that we're disappointed about, so the men who trembled at the word, this was their response. They got on their knees, they spread their hand to God, and they prayed. Mm-hmm. Man, getting back to basics, that's how we respond to life. Life is going to throw things at us. From people who let us down, people's behavior, it's appalling. Our own behavior appalling. We get on our knees. We spread our hands. We pray. That's a response. It's not getting mad. It's not withdrawing and don't show up for until we feel better. It's not getting mad at people around us and being irritated. It's praying. It's just really getting down on our knees and pouring our hearts before God. That's what Ezra did. And, you know, you can read his prayer, what he actually said in his prayer afterwards. But that was the attitude with which he approached God. Amen? Yeah. Any comment, anything? Anything, you know, just chime in. There's something. So the third and last one we want to look at. What are we doing with time? Go ahead.
Go ahead, James. The prayer is also a piece.
this is the emotionalness of it. I mean, emotion. I mean, is that you just rattling the words off? It's full of emotion, and definitely it takes some mental and psychological effort. You know, emotion time.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10 to 9.
Okay, what time now? 9. Okay, good. So the third basic I'd like for us to look at is making disciples. And our favorite scripture there is Matthew 20. Oops. Invent that one as I go along. Whoever finds it, read 18 through 20.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Go make disciples of all nations. You know, in this room there are people of many nations, several nations in here. And you know, either we became disciples, or people we know back home became disciples because there are people who obeyed the scriptures. And they went. And because people who obeyed the scriptures and stayed, we became disciples. Mm-hmm. And it's saying, go make disciples of all nations, including your own nation. It's a command.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's a basic thing. It's a basic, very basic thing for us to do. It's part of God's plan of saving the world. It's for us to obey this plan. It says, baptizing them. Spend time with them to teach them the word. To develop the relationship where they will at least trust you before they even start trusting the word. Mm-hmm. Because they come to know you and see that you're authentic.
Yeah.
Teaching them to obey. That means you don't just baptize them and walk away. Spend time. You continue to develop that relationship. It's a relational thing. Over time, to teach them to obey. You know, and like what I said up front, if we were to look at the studies at the start of every year, how different it probably would make us, the impact it would have on our lives throughout the year. But you know, another way of doing that is to go make disciples. Mm-hmm. We'll go through the studies several times. Mm-hmm. You know, and like Philemon 6 says, you know, the new NIV, it's, this is why I have it here. I kind of like how to put it in the new NIV. I'm sorry. Anyone have to come there? Phone, I think it's a new one that's on the phone. Yeah, they make it on my paper here. Philemon 6.
Yeah.
It's only one chapter.
I thought you said Philemon 6.
Alright.
I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective and deepening your understanding of every good things. we share for the sake of Christ.
Right. So that your partnership with us will be effective. Right? See, as we, you know, I think the older one, it says be active in sharing your faith by so doing. You'll understand all the good things you have in Christ Jesus. But I like this one too. It says your partnership. You know, so as we're studying, it's not just for the people we're studying with, but it's for us. Mm-hmm. It reminds us of all the good things we have in Christ Jesus. It introduced them to it and helped them to see it. But for us, it's a reminder of all that God has done for us. And not just what he has done, but also what else still needs to be done. Or what things we had done and then undid and need to be done again. You know, but it just keeps us in there. Just keep the basics in there in our lives. You know, and so, as you know, as we are practicing, these three basics, you know, the being in the Word, you know, being in prayer, and studying, you know, the Word of God. I mean, and evangelizing. You see, it creates in us the kind of heart and the kind of humility, like it says, will keep us blameless and being righteous in the sight of God. It will keep us humble. You know, it will keep us having the kind of life that God has created us to have, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes we can think it's the tough, challenging things, you know, fasting for 50 days and, you know, all these things that sounds good. And I know there's a place for some things like that, the challenges to challenge ourselves. But it's doing the basics, mm-hmm. day in and day out and day in and day out. That's what makes a difference. That's what creates the foundation from which to build on. Just as these pros, they go and they practice the basics, they create that foundation so that when they're on the field on Sunday or whenever, they're reacting because they've trained themselves to react. And it's buying the Word, being in the Word and praying and doing these things that we train ourselves to be godly. And when we train ourselves to be godly, we'll react. Mm-hmm. It will be our default mode to be godly, to be righteous. Isn't that great? Wouldn't that be great if our default mode was being righteous? I don't want to tell you what my default mode is, but you know, that's what God has called us to.
Yeah.
That's what God wants us to be, and we can, but it's got to be deliberate and active. That's what it takes. And you know, sometimes I feel like, though, we can come and we can sit here and we can acknowledge and we put the notes away and it goes out of our mind and we come back next week and we have some more notes and we just keep building that file. But guys, you know, if the pros had gone to training camp and did all those things and then left it in training camp and just move on and try to play the games, what do you think would happen?
Wouldn't play too well.
Wouldn't play too well. Be disappointing. They would be disappointed, but people around them would be disappointed too. So my encouragement to you goes with, like, James chapter 1 says, you know, not hearing the Word and then going away and not doing it. But do what it says. You know, allow the Word to be a mirror. Do what it says. And you know, the things you heard tonight, man, decide you're gonna do those things. Decide you're gonna be in the Word. You're gonna be a better student of the Word. Decide you're gonna be a man of prayer. And if you don't know how to pray, you know, learn, ask someone to help you. You know, read over some of those verses we looked at And as you look at those verses, if you get a study Bible, they'll give you other scriptures that you can read that will help you in that way to, you know, to learn those things. So there's a lot of resources in the scripture that will help you in your faith. So there's always going to be challenge, mm-hmm. but it will prepare you for them. It will prepare you for them. That's why guys go lift weights and things, because, you know, they're going to run into stuff. But if they have that foundation, it just really helps them. It doesn't take away the challenge. It just helps them to overcome it. It just prepares them to absorb and to overcome it. And that's what being in the Word of God, being in prayer and sharing our faith help us to accomplish. Amen?
Amen.
I hope the things actually have been helpful to you.
Yes.
Yes.
It was very helpful to me, just reminding me of my own.